This is what we do. I'm going to start with a little bit. You saw on your notes that there's a little warning. I'm just going to start out and say, I feel like the green screen that comes up before a movie, this preview or this sermon is not approved for all audiences. We're going to be talking about a couple of sensitive subjects today, so I just want you to know that if you are watching online and you have kids in the room, there might be some things that might not be great for young kids. And also, if you're in here and you have young kids with you, it might not be appropriate for them. Also, we are going to talk about a few things that some missionaries are doing in sensitive countries and places that we cannot show them. So online, we're going to play videos here in our service, but we'll only put the audio up because we don't want to show faces online of our missionaries that are working in countries that people may not be okay with what they're doing there. So with that being said, I'm the green screen. This is not approved for all audiences. This week, has anybody ever had a really crazy week? Like things just keep happening, like one thing happens after another. Well, this week, last weekend we went to youth convention. It was a very busy weekend. We get home, it's just a very, very busy week. And I thought, I really am running out of clean clothes. Have you ever had that feeling like I'm running out of clean clothes and I need to get laundry done right now, but there really isn't time? So I happened to run home and I was like, I have 2 hours. I can do laundry. I'm just going to throw my clothes in the washer. I'm putting it on the quick cycle and then I'm just going to throw them in the dryer. They'll be dry before I have to leave. So I take my clothes, all the pants that I normally wear, you know, those clothes, you have the pants you always wear and then the ones that you have to wear when things get dirty. So all the pants I normally wear, throw them in the washer. I take them out of the washer, I throw them in the dryer, I go about my day, I come back just like an hour later, I'm like, I'm just gonna check and see. And the dryer's not going. And I'm like, oh man, I forgot to hit the button to start the dryer. That would be me. And so I hit the button and nothing. And I turn off the dryer and I'm like, oh, maybe it just, you know, is a fluke thing. Turn off the dryer, turn on the dryer, and nothing. So wet pants, blow dryer, here we come. We gotta figure it out. Our dryer just broke. It's been 10 years, we've had that dryer a long time, and praise God, we have gone through financial peace, we tithe, God provided the funds for us, and we're getting a new dryer. But in that moment, I thought about a time in our life where we heard about a family who didn't have a dryer. And this family needed a new washer and dryer because they had a lot of kids and they needed one at their house and theirs had broken. And Pastor Ryan and I heard about this family and we're like, hey, maybe there's something we should do. And we're like, yeah, but you know, we're pastors and money is tight sometimes. And we had 5 young kids at the time. And God just spoke to me and said, you need to give them the money for the washer and dryer. And I was like, yeah, God, sounds like a good plan. And I was like, well, hey, Pastor Ryan, God told me to give this family money for a washer and dryer. And he's like, are you sure about that? And I was like, yeah, we're just supposed to give them money for a washer and dryer. And he's like, okay, if God said it, we're going to do it. And you know what? We had enough money for the washer and dryer for this family. We like to be anonymous. We like to teach our kids about generosity. So we taught our kids. We put it in an envelope. We put a piece of tape on it. We told our kids to run up to the door, tape it on the door, do the ding dong dash and run away. Because generosity can be really, really fun. And so when we teach our kids about generosity, we like to have a good time with it. And that family got a washer and dryer, and our kids got to see what generosity looks like. Today, we are going to ask this question and answer it. What is generosity? If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. At the end of the message, we will give you the opportunity to receive that hope. As we've been going through this current series, This Is What We Do, we've been challenged with what giving is. We've learned that a tithe, which simply means 10% of our income, goes back to God. His promise is that if we give our first and our best, he will provide. But giving back our tithe is not being generous. It's simply being obedient. At Focus Church, we have lots of opportunities to be generous. That's why we have the Do Something Fund. I was asked recently, how can we keep dividing our tithe among all the little different opportunities we have to give? And we have a lot of opportunities to give. And I said, we don't divide our tithe. Our 10% belongs to God. We give it to him, and we just do it obediently. But if we want to be generous, we need to realize that generosity begins at 11%. And that's what our Do Something Fund is for the 11%. We can do it and we can be generous and we can have fun doing it. If you have your Bible app with you or your Bible today, you can turn to the book of Luke chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 36. Pastor Ryan and I just came back from Thailand just a little while ago. We were planning this missions trip to Thailand and we got to go there. We get to Thailand, we've flown overnight. We get there in the morning and we see the missionary. He greets us at the airport and he takes us into breakfast. And then he says, hey, there's not much open in Thailand this early in the morning. Things don't really happen here until night. But we have this one little coffee shop that's open and I'm gonna take you over there. And we're walking down the street of Thailand and he's like, yeah, all of these businesses tonight will be open. Everything's closed. I know it seems kind of weird, but that's just how Thailand is. And he takes us into this coffee shop and he said, I'm gonna take you into this coffee shop. It's owned by a Christian and the women here have been rescued. We didn't talk a whole lot about it at that time. He went on to show us more parts of Thailand. We got to see beautiful things, the mountains there, the beaches, all the kinds of things, the people that are great. We went to night markets and all these really cool things. And then one night he said, hey, I'm going to take you someplace that's not the prettiest part of Thailand. And we said, okay. He said, I'm going to take you to the red light district. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's, you know, show us all the things. We want to know where ministry is happening here in Thailand. And he said, okay, we're gonna go to the hotel and there's some really specific things you need to know. But first, when we get to the hotel, we're just gonna stop and pray. So we get to the hotel and he prays this prayer and I was like, that prayer is really kind of intense. Like, wow, what are we getting ourselves into? We step out of the hotel onto the street and this street we had been on in the day and it seemed like a normal street, but you step out onto that street at night and you noticed that prostitution is everywhere. And there are women and things that I had never even seen in my lifetime. He walks down to one particular street and he says, hey, we're gonna go down the street. We're gonna stop and pray again. And I'm like, how much more can we see? And he prays and I think, okay, God, you're gonna have to protect us. We walk down that road right in the heart of the red light district of Thailand. We walked for about 30 steps and I said, to our missionary there, I said, Brandon, we're done. I need to go back. Because the heartbreak of seeing women who are being sex trafficked is so intense and so sad that it breaks your heart. Now you might be thinking, how does any of this have to do with generosity? You're in Thailand and we're talking about sex trafficking, but we're gonna look at some women in the Bible who did some things, and the very first woman we're gonna look at was said to be sinful, but yet Jesus used her. We're gonna go to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home, sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him, at his feet weeping. Her tears fell onto his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. See, there are three different times that Jesus is anointed with perfume in the Bible, and this one happens to say that the woman was a sinful woman. She might have been like the woman in the red light district. You see, these women don't have a choice but to be in this industry. Many of them are kidnapped. Many of them are sold by their families. Many of them are beaten until they do what they're supposed to do. They don't really have a choice. But just like the woman in the red light district, this woman did have a choice to get close to Jesus. And maybe her life was changed like this woman in the video I'm getting ready to show you. You see, Project Rescue is an organization that comes in and goes to women in the red light district, takes them out of that district and changes their life. They change their life from being sorrowful to being hopeful. And we're gonna watch and see that maybe this lady in the Bible is like this lady and her story might be similar. Let's watch.
Sonia grew up in a poor family without her mother and without an opportunity to go to school. Growing up, she was physically abused by her stepmother, deprived of food, safety, and love. Eventually, causing her to run away from home. I ran away from home because there was no one in my family who loved me or took care of me. So I came to the city. One lady seemed very good to me, so I trusted her and called her mom. But she sold me to a brothel where I was forced into prostitution. One day, one man brutally beat me on the street. I lost my senses and blacked out. After I came to my senses, the man beat me again and forcefully took me with him and raped me. Later, a woman I knew trafficked me across the border and sold me to another brothel. Unable to escape, I was there for 8 months. I wanted to leave and lead a good life, but I never got the chance or help to do so until I found the Oasis. Now, Sonia is working as an outreach worker with the Oasis. She is a beacon of hope, helping pave the way for other women and girls to come out of the trade.
Never gets any easier hearing the stories of women being deceived, abused, raped, trafficked, ending them in the situations that they're in today. And yet, even when the darkness is so dark, the smallest light shines bright. For young girls and women coming from a background of trafficking and sexual exploitation, the Oasis represents a safe place, a sanctuary, where they can encounter the true source of living water, where they can find true hope, abundant joy, and new life through the love and the healing power of Jesus Christ. While getting to know the women better, I asked them to share a little bit about themselves, and one woman summed up her life in one sentence. She said, "My life is sorrow." And I thought, what if we could change that last word?
My life is hopeful.
My life is restored.
My life is new.
My life is redeemed.
My life is valuable.
My life is beautiful.
My life is freedom.
And it's my prayer that for every woman and child in the Oasis, that they would let God rewrite their story.
Ministries like Project Rescue only happen because we are generous. The missionary there, I got a chance to be with her, and she's doing amazing work. She's taking in women who didn't have a choice, but they're given one now. And that missionary, she had a choice, and she said yes to God. You and I, we have a choice. We have a choice to listen to God. We have a choice to listen when he's speaking, and he gives us opportunities to be generous. In fact, to be generous, I should listen to God. There's one major thing that happens in, with us listening to God is that we have to be able to hear God's voice and know who he is. And we can't hear God's voice unless we know God. And so at youth convention, I just went with the youth group last weekend. There was a speaker there, and he said something very profound to the kids, and I want us as adults to hear it as well, because he said, you can't stand up for Jesus in public if you can't sit down with Jesus in private. And it's really important for us to know when we're wanting to give generously and we're wanting to do what God wants us to do, we won't be able to listen to God's voice if we haven't spent time with him. And so it's important for all of us to sit and take time and listen to his voice and know him, so that when opportunities come to be generous, to give, we'll be able to respond to his voice. I had a friend that I was with just a little while ago, and she was talking to me about how she was listening to God. And this friend of mine, she is a very generous person. She listens to God. She obeys him. And she said God told her on this one particular day, she said, God said, hey, I want you to give $1,000 to this family you know. And she was like, God, I don't have $1,000 to give to this family. In fact, they had been being generous as a family for the last month. And she's like, God, all of the funds that we had, we've already given away. And she's like, I think, God, I think you have the wrong person. Not today. God, let me just go about my day. And she said, I just went about my day. She's like, I just decided, you know, like we don't have it. God's not talking to me. The woman with the perfume that day, she did take that perfume and she did pour it out on Jesus. I bet she thought she didn't have it either. She probably didn't have enough of anything. But she chose to give a whole year's of salary away to Jesus. People probably looked at her, and we know that there are people around her that said she was kind of crazy. It reminded me of a song that the youth sing, the one that says, all my friends just want to be famous, living life with a lot of time wasted. I choose you. Everyone's saying I'm crazy. Good thing they're not the God who made me. So when God speaks to you and says, hey, give $1,000, people might think you're crazy if you don't have it. They might think, what are you doing? Why would you give that? But just like the song says, if everyone thinks you're crazy, it's a good thing they're not the God who made you. So when God's speaking to you, listen, do what he says. There's a second time that expensive perfume was poured over Jesus, and it's in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, say, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who'd soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared about the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. You see, Mary had spent time with Jesus. She knew him. She listened to him. We have in previous chapters of the Bible, it says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. She knew him, so she knew when God spoke to her to prepare him for burial, she knew that it was time for her to do that. She didn't check with those around her. She didn't go, oh God, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough of this. She just knew what she was supposed to do, and she did it. When we hear from God and we need to be generous, we need to do something right away. Obey right away. Speak it out loud, write it down, make a plan. This friend of mine who said, hey, God, I really don't have the money for that. I'm just going to ignore you. God kept talking to her. And God does that a lot of times when we are like, oh, God, no, like, I'm good. We got it. But if we spent time with him, then we know his voice and we can keep hearing it. And she's like, Pastor Shelley, God just kept talking to me throughout the rest of the day. And I was like, I talked to my husband and I was like, hey, we're supposed to give this $1,000 to this family. I know we don't have it. And he's like, yeah, but if you heard from God, we just have to do it. And she's like, okay. So instead of just being like, okay, God, when you provide it, then we'll give it. She did something that was really important. She obeyed right away, and she texted the family that she was supposed to give the money to and said, hey, God told me to give you $1,000. I don't have the money, but give me a week. And I thought, how awesome is it that she just wrote it out and said, hey, I'm having faith. I'm deciding that if God told me to do something, I'm going to do it and it's going to work out. And that's how all of us need to be. We need to say, hey, if God tells me to do something, we need to write it down. We need to tell somebody. We need to say, yes, I'm having a faith to believe that what God's told me to do, I can do. I can be generous however God's asked me to be. We are blessed so that those around us can have the things that they need. And this family that she's supposed to give this $1,000 to needed the money. What we have to put it out there and then give God a chance to prove himself. There is a third time in the Bible that it records expensive perfume being poured out on Jesus. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 6. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, I'm going to stop right there, Simon the leper. Pastor Ryan and I were talking about this verse, and he said, why do you think they call him Simon the leper? Would you like that name? And I was like, no, he was healed of leprosy. Like, that's why he's Simon the leper. But we're like, shouldn't it say like Simon healed of leprosy in the Bible? Anyway, that was our funny little time. So I'm just going to call him Simon the leper that was healed. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar. It was a very expensive perfume. And she poured it on. She poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they ask. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." She's being wasteful to them. And sometimes people look at us and they think we're wasteful when we give things away. But you see, aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." This woman knew what was going to happen. She knew Jesus was going to die, and she prepared him for burial. What seems like a waste to others is not a waste to God. Sometimes when we answer the call, it seems like too much to those around us. It seems like too high of a price, too much to do. But we are not living for those people. We're living to do what God told us to do. You see, this friend of mine who had written them and said, "Hey, give me a week. I'm going to give you the $1,000. Something miraculous happened because the next day, her husband said, "Hey, I forgot about some money we had in this account. It's there. I put the $1,000 in the account. You can just Venmo it to them now." In one day, God took care of $1,000 for that family. And not only did he take care of my friend's family to give the $1,000, he also took care of another family who needed the $1,000. They have a lot of kids and they really did need the money. She was told about that later on. But when we're obedient to what God is asking, we get to watch God provide. And that's the really fun part of generosity. When we say yes to God, he takes care of the rest. And so that's the fun part that we can teach our kids. That's the fun part that we can see. And that's the fun part that we can see lives changed. Because you see, with Project Rescue, it's just a missionary saying yes. And it's a lot of people saying, "Yes, I'll be generous." And it's a lot of people saying, "Hey, I will give whatever God asked me to do." Jesus was prepared, and now these women are prepared to come out of sex trafficking. When we obey, we help prepare people for the place God has for them. When I listen to God and obey him, generosity can be really fun. We get to watch all the things God does. Today, we have an opportunity to be generous. See, Project Rescue is rescuing women out of prostitution all of the time. They have a lot of Oasis homes. That's the home that they call when they take them out of prostitution, and they give them a new place to live, and they teach them new skills. In fact, what I'm wearing today was made by a lady in Project Rescue. It was a gift to me by somebody who has been rescued out of prostitution. And her name is sewn right here. Let me show you, I'm getting it right now. Right here on the tag of my cardigan, it says, "Kobita made this for me." And it puts a very real name to a very sad problem that we have. But this lady, who came from nothing, stayed up all night to make this for me because she wanted to have a gift to give to the pastors that were talking about Project Rescue. We're going to watch and see what a Project Rescue home looks like. Our missionary, this missionary that you're seeing that we're supporting, I can't tell you exactly where she is, but she's working with women that are coming out of the sex trade, and she's doing amazing things. And so let's watch and see what it looks like for women to come out of Project Rescue, and then we'll give you an opportunity to give to Project Rescue and help women come out of this. Generosity can be really fun, and you'll get to see some women having a great time now.
As I work to fight against trafficking and sexual exploitation, I've seen the face of evil and felt darkness in a way I can't explain. The spiritual battle is real. Our ladies have endured trauma and pain in such a way that as I hear their stories, I truly can't fathom or understand how they are still standing here today. I've realized that their stories might be tragic, but God is taking their tragedy and turning it into a testimony. I have never seen such visible life change as I have in this season. Women who tried to end their lives multiple times and felt their life is only sorrow are now saying, "I don't know what my future holds, but I see hope, and I believe that there are good things ahead. The women are blossoming and flourishing, and every time I go to the center, the smiles get a little bigger, the laughter a little louder, the love a little deeper. I've seen firsthand how God leaves the 99 to chase after the one. He shows up in their lives, he answers prayers, and he calls out to them. One of our ladies shared that she had a dream. And in her dream, she was trapped in her old life again. And all she felt was pain, darkness, and fear. She was overwhelmed when she suddenly heard a voice say, "Call out for Jesus." She said suddenly she was flooded with peace and light. She felt free. Women are finding freedom. And the most beautiful thing is it doesn't stop there. They are becoming lights in the darkness. They are now going to women still in bondage and saying, "You don't have to do this anymore." See, we aren't just serving survivors. No, our survivors are becoming warriors who are fighting against the evil that used to hold them in bondage for so long. So as you join with us in this fight, know that you are linking arms with some of the most resilient women I know. You may not be able to visit yourself, but one day in heaven, you will see the fruit for yourself, as we will be standing shoulder to shoulder with women who went through hell on earth, but they will spend eternity worshiping God, because God used you and me to go to the darkest places to call out their names. What keeps me going is asking, whose stories have yet to be rewritten?
Can't help but watch something like that and really be made aware that this is even happening in our world, in our lifetime. You can't watch that without feeling the pain, the hurt, but also even the gratefulness of where we are at and what we get to experience and how drastically different it is. And yet, here at Focus Church, we say that grateful people give generously, that you can't outgive God. And we have the opportunity to actually do something that we have given. Last year, we gave to Project Rescue. And those ladies you're seeing on video are a result of what this church has invested in, what this church has responded to God in. And we're not talking about just being generous because, hey, I have something, but we want God-inspired generosity, where God speaks to us and we listen. We have a saying around here that goes like this: we want to be people who hear from God, obey God, and shorten the distance in between, to do it quickly. So in just a moment, we're going to do a digital giving session where I'm going to ask you to pull out your phones and either go to the website givetofocus.org or pull up the Church Center app, because we're going to give to Project Rescue. We're going to do something today about this. We're going to make a difference. And you know what? I just saw joy on those videos of people who have been rescued. And I believe we're going to be a part of making that happen more. And so we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to speak to us, because right now I know that when it comes to giving, we all know what we can give. But I often find that when God wants us to give, he wants us to actually grow in faith in regards to what we should give. So we have a number in our mind, what I can spare, what I won't miss. And at a minimum, that's probably what we should give. But I think we need to really be at the point, and what Pastor Shelley was saying, is that we need to hear from God. And so we're going to ask God and we're going to pray. And as we pray, I want you to say, "God, tell me what I'm supposed to give." And whatever it is, that's what it is. You may say, "But I don't know what God's voice sounds like." Well, let me tell you, we're giving God an opportunity in this moment to be able to recognize that. because whatever comes to mind, it's probably not you. It's probably God saying, here's what I want you to do, because you're asking him to, and you're going to respond with obedience. So we're going to pray, and we're going to give. So go ahead. If you haven't already, grab your phone. I'm getting my phone out too, because I'm asking God, what are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Pulling the Church Center app up, or through givetofocus.org. Make sure the fund that you're choosing is do something, because that's what we're doing here. We're doing something. And we're going to pray. God, we're faced today with an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of women and children on the other side of this planet. They are experiencing a life that no one should have to experience. Lord, we see videos and we see expressions of this, and it breaks our hearts. But God, we know it also breaks your heart. And we're prepared to do something right now, God. In the next few moments, we're going to give. We're going to be generous. But God, we don't want to just be generous in our own right. We want to be God-inspired generous. So God, we ask that you would speak to us right now, and you would tell us what we should give. And God, our promise to you is that we would do it. And we know you're going to use it. And you're going to use it to bring light into a dark place. So help us, God. Speak to us, God, as we give in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you right now to give. Even those watching online, you can give. Give to focus.org. Give to the Do Something Fund. Use the Church Center app. I'm giving right now as well. As we finish giving, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we close out this message. God, we're so thankful that we're getting to be generous today, that we don't just get to hear about it, we just don't get to be challenged by generosity, but we actually get to do it. We get to put what you say into action. We get to respond to how you lead us. And God, I pray that we would be a people who constantly seek your voice in this. Lord, your heart is a generous heart. We know that because you were generous in giving of your son to pay the price for our sin. And we thank you for that. And we're grateful for that. And God, we've been learning through this series that we don't own anything. It's all yours. We just get to manage it, and we're supposed to manage it well. So God, if you ask us for what is already yours, then we choose to give it with joy. We choose to be obedient. We choose to be generous, knowing that it starts at 11%. So God, help us to hear you, to respond and obey, to make a plan, and to watch you provide, to see you make a difference when we do something. Help us to be generous in Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that we said at the beginning that if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope. See, I want to help you with that. God was generous to you. God made a way when there was no way, to be forgiven of our sins, to be set free, to be able to be a part of God's family, to know that we can know that when we pass on from this earth, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. But while we're still on this earth, we recognize our life is no longer our own, because we're saying, God, I want to put you in charge. We want you to be the main character of our life story, that I will follow you as you are the leader of my life. And so I want to help you with this decision, this new beginning, this new life, this life that the ladies we've seen on screen today are experiencing. And you can experience that freedom and that hope that's found in Jesus as well. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to say it in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to repeat it out loud after me.
But don't worry, you're not praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. Even those watching online, you pray with us as well. So let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.